Hello, this is your host, Belle Shavey speaking. Welcome to today's episode of the Morrison Family Center for Student Wellbeing's podcast, WellCat 101. The purpose of this podcast is to give students an opportunity to share their college experiences, their advice, or interesting anecdotes for listeners who are students, staff, parents, etc. Each episode topic will be related to student well-being and or mental health through the lens of positivity and growth. We hope you enjoy this episode of WellCat 101. Hello there, and welcome back to WellCat 101, the student-led podcast centered around topics relating to student mental health and well-being. To cut to the chase, these next few episodes will be discussing topics relating to loneliness, finding a sense of belonging, and how community impacts our physical and mental health. K-State's Common Read this year, Together, by Vivek H. Murthy, MD, who served as the 19th and 21st Surgeon General of the U.S., discusses related topics, and you will probably hear me reference quotes or passages from this book. If you have not read it and would like to, there are links provided in the description to more information about the book, including other podcast episodes that Dr. Murthy has been a guest on. On this episode of WellCat 101, we are going to be discussing what finding belonging can look like at a university. Obviously, we will be focusing on what loneliness looks like on K-State's campus, how that can impact a person's well-being, and what resources are available to students who are actively searching for belonging. We will be touching on all of these topics with our guest here today.
Kevin Santos Flores.
He is the Director of Student Belonging and Engagement at K-State. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Of course. Thank you for inviting me. It's great to be here today. And in my role, my primary responsibility is managing our Morris Family Multicultural Student Center. And day to day, I work with students and some of our student organizations here on campus. And some of those organizations are the Asian American Student Union, the Hispanic American Leadership Organization, the Black Student Union, and the Native American Student Body, and many others. And I see many other students that I work with throughout the day, but definitely in the evening when they're meeting and they're using the center for different events and their officer meetings or their bi-monthly or weekly meetings. And our department has two summer bridge programs. So several of the students who later become officers in those organizations, they have been involved in our two summer bridge programs. We just had one last month called MAPS. It's a free program, and it's open to all majors now. In the past, it was just open to engineering, agriculture, and the College of Business. And next month, we have one called the CUMP, which was a three-day orientation program. And then in September, it's going to be 4 years that I've been here at Kansas State University.
Awesome. Well, early congrats on 4 years.
Thank you.
We're happy to have you. Before we get into our topic for today, as we always do on episodes on this podcast, we have a little like fun intro question. And so I tried to kind of theme these questions around connection. So this one is, what is a tradition that you really enjoy? And so when I say the word tradition, I mean something that is just a repeated activity that you can do with friends or family or even like just with yourself. For example, mine is what my friends and I call Mozzarella Mondays. So this started when I was a freshman here at K-State. Me and a couple of my friends we were all cast in theater productions at K-State here. And our rehearsals would end at 10 p.m. on Mondays. And we would always be like really hungry or just wanting to hang out more. And we would go to Sonic and get mozzarella sticks. And we did this so frequently, specifically like on Monday nights, because I think that was one of the times when we were all free. And so we started calling it Mozzarella Mondays and made it a point to go to Sonic and get mozzarella sticks and just sit in one of our cars and eat mozzarella and then drive back to the dorms when we were done. And should we have maybe been staying up that late on a Monday night? No. But it was really, really fun. And although we've kept that going, it's maybe not every Monday so much anymore, but we still do Mozzarella Mondays occasionally. And it's just, I don't know, the alliteration is fun. And so I would say that's a tradition with my friends that I love.
Well, one of the traditions that I have is I go back home to Southern California where I grew up and probably go back 4 times a year to visit my family and my friends. And my tradition is that there's this Swiss chocolate store at the local mall. It's called the Brea Mall. And my mom buys me a box of chocolates and I bring back that box. And anytime I have a hard day at work, I treat myself to one of those chocolates. And the other tradition to that too is not every time I go, but at least once a year when through one of my visits, I also go to the In-N-Out.
Yeah. I've never had In-N-Out. I've been to is In-N-Out in Colorado?
It is. Went to it last week. I was traveling with our Upper Bound program. There's one in Colorado Springs.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I think I actually lied to you. I think I have. I've never been to an In-N-Out, but I think on a vacation with my family to Colorado, I've had In-N-Out. I've at least had their fries. I don't know if I actually got anything to eat, but it's a big thing over in California, isn't it?
It is. It is.
Is it? What would you say, McDonald's or In-N-Out?
Oh, In-N-Out.
In-N-Out.
I mean, McDonald's is national. It's the regional, I guess, the hamburger restaurant that many people from that area identify with.
Okay. Is In-N-Out anywhere else other than California?
I think it's in Texas, Arizona. I'd have to look up the other states, possibly Utah, but okay. It has expanded. I know it's in Texas now too. Oregon. Okay. It's in Oregon too.
Okay. So kind of maybe more West Coast.
Yeah. It's like the equivalent of Five Guys. I think it's from D.C., Shake Shack from New York. Mm. Yeah.
It's the equivalent. Okay. And on my bucket list now. Yeah, try it. Actually, for real, try In-N-Out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go animal style on the hamburgers and the fries.
Absolutely.
And to anyone who listens to this podcast, if you go to yes. In-N-Out, yeah, do that.
Recommend. Is there a special In-N-Out sauce or is it just good food?
I think it's the quality is good. So the fries, they make them themselves.
Mm.
Yeah, you should try it.
I will. Yeah. I definitely will. I'll try it more intentionally yeah. than just maybe not remembering if I've had it or not. But yeah, cool. In-N-Out on the bucket list. But now let's get into our topic for today, which is finding belonging at a university. We wanted to get an inside perspective of what finding belonging looks like on a college campus and how to find ways to connect on campus through just different programs that are available to students. So you talked a little bit about student belonging at K-State. What are some things that the programs that you guys house do to promote belonging at K-State?
So one of the things that we do, we have a block party at the weekend before or after Labor Day. And then we also have an open house. So that week of welcome when there's all the student organizations are tabling here in the union, we have one the day before so that students can come and see all the organizations because it's easy to get lost and know to find yourself and find a group of people. And once they're a part of, ideally to attend one of the events by those student organizations, we're also available for students as a resource if they have any financial aid questions, finding a job, and or academics, things of that nature. We work with students on a day-to-day too.
Yeah. So these programs are not, they're for any student. They're yes. not just for one specific group or I don't know, one specific type of student. They're for everyone.
Yes, they're for everyone, yeah.
Absolutely. That's awesome. And you already talked about some of the programs, but what is typically a way that students can get involved in these programs?
So the block party, that's advertised, I think, through our Division of Student Affairs and Academic Success. I forget the full name. But our different student organizations, they use Instagram primarily for the promotion of their events. They are on Org Central, so you can look up the name there. But once you find the name, look them up on their Instagram, and that's where you'll see when they're having an upcoming event that people can attend.
Absolutely. And we've linked Org Central down in the show notes of some previous episodes, but we will link a bunch of stuff in the show notes. for like where everyone can find these resources and this stuff. And I wanted to ask about like that's how students can get involved and find belonging. Do you have a some sort of like success story that can I don't know, maybe this is kind of off of the top of your head, but that you can tell us about of a student, and you don't have to name them, but a student that really benefited from one of the programs or many of the programs, or just, I don't know, maybe a specific group of students that you find really connects with, is able to benefit and connect with the student belonging and engagement.
Yes. We have a partnership. They give scholarship money, Cargill, to our department for the children of the parents who work at the Cargill plant in Dodge City. And it originally started with just a few majors, the ones that they would hire, like ag, engineering. And one of our students recently, he graduated, and he did it. Both his internships with Cargill in different sites in the U.S. And he decided to go work back home. He got a full-time job offer to work at Dodge City. And one of the things that really stood about him is that not only is he willing to go back home, but he, at this last internship that he did in the previous summer, he was he would have lunch with his mom at the factory. So, and we've had now from that program, I think three students graduate, one's in Kansas City. And to me, I feel that shows, I had not worked before in the Midwest, just primarily on the West Coast. And that's something I really like. And just, I feel there's a culture of giving back, definitely not only from alumni, but even companies, and just trying to creating those, I guess those lines of support for one another and just helping the next generation coming up. So,
and that really, I mean, that's really what your department is all about, is mm-hmm. just making sure that students feel connected, and that they feel like they belong and that they're important. In the first chapter of Together by Vivek Murthy, which will be linked in the description, as always, he talks about some of his own personal struggles with like loneliness at different times of his life. And he also spent some time introducing some people that he interviewed in the book as, you know, during his time as Surgeon General. And one thing that was true, and this is a quote from the first chapter that was true across all segments of the people that he interviewed and the United States society as a whole, he said many people described what they were feeling is a lack of belonging. They tried to do things about it, and many had joined social organizations and moved to new neighborhoods. They worked in open office settings and went to happy hours, but the sense of being at home remained elusive. They missed the foundation of home, that is genuine connection with other people. And we talk a lot about like intentional interaction with people. And so when students go to join these organizations or go to search for belonging at the Department of Student Belonging and Engagement, what are some ways that you guys try to intentionally interact with students? Or what kind of activities do you guys kind of, I know we already talked about activities, but talk a little bit about your motivations and your purpose behind the activities and the programs that are put in place for students.
So those events that I mentioned earlier, that where they welcome students. So in our building, in the Morris Family Culture Student Center, there's two staff, myself and Brandon Clark. So one of the things we try to do is we serve as advisors for some of these organizations. And I try to go to as many events, or at least have, I have drop-in hours. So just being available for students. And then any student who is referred to me, I check in with them too. And that's one of the main ways. We also have a, for all the student organizations who like to be at the council, have been historically part of this council, it's called the Multicultural Student Leadership Council. And it's held on Sundays once a month. And that gives us the opportunity, and we've worked with the college leadership studies, and to give training and better leadership skills. And that's also where we get to meet all the groups, because the student groups do use the center, but throughout different times and days, but that's a centralized time where they can discuss various things. And yeah, just walking around the union, working with the union programming council, they partner a lot. They're very good partners with our student organizations, and meeting new students through our summer bridge programs. That's some of the ways where we have to do a lot of follow-up, and we work also with different people in the colleges when we have these summer bridge programs. And they, I stay in communication with them too when they have a question or a concern.
That is awesome. Having that follow-up that feels so personal. And I'm sure that it is. Like, it's genuine. Like, we care about you, and we care about not only helping you out, but also wanting to connect with you and make sure that you know that we see you as an individual and not just, you know, a person that comes in wanting help. So I want to pick your brain a little bit, and I would like to ask you if you would like to share your experience going to college and feeling, because I know every person, no matter who you are, coming to college in a new environment, finding their sense of belonging is something that is sometimes a struggle. And I know that I had to go through it, as well as many other people that I know, of just like finding a place where I felt comfortable. So I'm wondering if you would like to share a little bit about your experience of finding your own sense of belonging. Are you a K-State alum?
No.
No. Okay. So this will be a little bit more of a generalized university thing.
Yes. So yeah. So I grew up in Southern California, about 5 minutes from Disneyland, and I was a first-generation college student, and I was unaware of the process. I knew about the college classes you had to take, but I did not take the SAT. Like, I didn't know, and also I was a bit intimidated because I wasn't a U.S. citizen yet by that time, and I attended my local community college, Fullerton Community College, and some of the things I did, because I realized, oh, okay, this is much different from high school. But even in high school, I joined sports, things I'd never done before. But at the community college, I took classes that previously I had not seen when I was in high school. So, for example, my philosophy class, the Intro to African American Studies, and also a History of Rock and Roll.
Yeah.
One of the best things about that was just one of the assignments was going to a concert and writing about it. Mm-hmm. And what else? One of my close friends and mentors from the Intro to Statistics class, I'm still in touch with him, was during that time period when I was a college student. And other thing was doing a snowboarding class too. So I think I did things to get me out of the comfort zone. And just, I think I've been the person the way I was raised to learn new things. And that's a challenge, you know. Not everyone wants to do that. Mm-hmm. I transferred to my local university, California State University, Fullerton. In my first, I first majored in political science, and I had a hard time trying to connect with, I guess, the department. Like, I took all my classes, I was doing fairly well. But there was something missing, and I think, you know, in today's sense, I think it would be like a lack of belonging. Mm-hmm. I did join, once I double majored, I took a class, it was Latin American Studies, and I decided to double major. And that, to me, I felt was what made the difference, because not only was I able to get those mentors from my department, from that college, but I also became more familiar with the university, how it worked. I was involved with two student organizations during that time. And I think that's what really helped me flourish and become more comfortable with who I am. And just, I really enjoyed my time after I double majored.
So. Yeah, finding 100%, finding something to study and major in that feels right to you and that connects you more to what brings you joy and to that makes you feel more established in yourself is so helpful, definitely. And I like what you said about branching out of your comfort zone. Like, maybe taking classes that don't sound like anything you would have taken in high school, like history of rock and roll or philosophy. And just really, I don't know, maybe connecting with other students in the class over that of like, hey, this I'm taking this for a, you know, K-State credit, K-State core credit. I have no idea what this is. You know, I've never even thought about philosophy. I don't know any philosophers. And maybe that can be a topic of conversation. And so maybe you do feel a little bit out of place when you first walk in. But I bet you everybody else is maybe feeling that same way, which is so interesting to think about, because you might enter a room or a space or a university where you feel like you're the only person that feels a certain type of way about it. Like you're like, I'm feeling so lonely. Everybody seems to have friends. Everybody else seems to be having a good time, but I just don't feel established in myself. Chances are there are other people that also feel that same way. And so luckily at K-State, having the resource of student belonging is awesome, because that is just the place to meet other people that are also feeling that same way. And I think it can be really tough, especially for, transfer students or students that have maybe traveled a long way from where they live to come to university, to find, I mean, you're so far from home, probably a little homesick, and trying to find other people that are similar to you or like the same things as you can be really scary, but when you're so far away from what's familiar. So thank you for sharing your experience. That's awesome. But I think that you touched on some really, really good stuff. What are you guys going to be up to in the fall?
In the fall,
yeah.
So we have our, and I think it's in connection with the Common Read.
Yeah,
it's the block party, and we're always, well, within operators, we're always open, so anyone can come and use the space, and also we're available. So the main way we connect with students is the one-on-one. Like just meeting with students.
Yeah.
And then we help them when they go to conferences, things like that. And what else? I'm trying to think here. But we do more of the welcoming events, but the belonging, that's the day to day, like us being available for the students or just checking in with them.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's the main things we do have for the students who have participated in Maps and Compass. And not only this year, but previously, we have a convocation for them. So all those students get to meet one another. So that's how we try to build belonging amongst them. So they can feel like, oh, the previous year students, how they're doing. They can give them, a lot of the students provide support for one another. Hey, this is a good resource. You should go here, for example. Or they talk about a certain class. So that's how our department tries to build belonging amongst our students. But anyone's welcome to come to the center, participate in any of our events.
Yeah. What is Maps and Compass?
So Maps and Compass are two summer bridge programs. And historically, they've been primarily funded by companies who want to hire our students to do internships through the Career Center. The Career Center, shout out to them, because the staff do a great job in helping our students get internships. I mean, I used to read about this, but I did not realize that case. It's a hidden gem in the rate that students get internships and jobs, because for me, one of the greatest satisfactions that I have is seeing when our students, like even especially the ones I work with, have jobs lined up before they graduate.
Mm-hmm.
So Maps and Compass are summer bridge programs. MAPS is 2 weeks open to all majors, and it's in June, the first 2 weeks of June. We travel to different companies to visit them, Cargill, ConocoPhillips, and Compass is a three-day orientation program. All expenses are paid. Students get to move in early, and they get – the goal of this is to acclimate them to what university life is, and this is very important for students who are – out of state, but first generation college students, and they get to also meet the different point of contact within the colleges that they're going to major in. So like the deans. So that's very important, or that I feel helps students feel more comfortable so that they feel they're not alone in their journey.
Absolutely. Well, and if you're contacting someone online, it's very helpful to be able to put a name to a face. And so it makes people more approachable, definitely. So, and I think, even being an in-state student, being able to come to things like student orientation and meeting some of the people that are going to be my professors or meeting my advisor was really, really nice. So that's so awesome that there are programs for anyone to be able to do that. That's super cool. Awesome. Well, I think that is all of the questions that I had for you today. And we talked about, togetherness and belonging. I think that this series of episodes, and I think that even just this common read in general is so cool because, loneliness is such a broad topic to tackle, I feel like. There's not really a one-size-fits-all solution. It is very one-on-one. And so I like that you said something about your department enjoys and really strives to have that one-on-one connection with students, because that is really, since there is no way to fix loneliness for every person with one thing, connecting and making sure that each person is taken care of, no matter who they are or what they've got going on, is really impactful and really helpful. And I think that it's cool that K-State has something like that, because I don't know if every university has something like that. I hope they do, but shout out K-State.
Yes, definitely. Go Cats. I'm very happy. Even though we're a small team, but we have dedicated staff to the students. Yeah. And I feel that's what, in my own journey, that's what made the difference. So, and I try to do that now, obviously.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what made you choose K-State? Like, what brought you here?
In higher ed, I applied to many different places. I previously worked at Oregon State University, similar department, and I was managing cultural centers. So, I saw this opportunity come up and I applied for it.
Yeah.
And it worked out.
Nice. And you like to hear. You've been here for almost 4 years now. Yep. So that's awesome. We're so happy to have you. Thank you so much for being a guest on this podcast. If you would like to know more about the resources mentioned in this podcast, they are linked in the description. If you would like to know more about how to get involved and more about our wonderful guest on this episode, as well as the other staff members at the Student Belonging and Engagement Department, those will also be linked and you can look them up. More information about them will be provided. So thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next time.